In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Anyone else get excited about a road trip? New things to see, new people to meet, new areas to explore. Jesus has been on a different kind of road trip since Mark chapter 8. Jesus' road trip will bring him to Jerusalem, where, as he tells his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. What kind of a road trip is this? Peter rejects this idea. He rebukes Jesus for his negative talk, and then Jesus has to set Peter straight and then tells the others, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." On this road trip, Jesus goes to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and then back to his disciples where he heals a boy with an unclean spirit. Together they walk through Galilee, and Jesus tells them again, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." The disciples do not understand. Instead, they are concerned about which one of them is the greatest. And Jesus tells them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Along the way, Jesus teaches about sin and temptation. His road trip goes across the Jordan River to the east side, and there he stops for a while and teaches. The disciples try to keep the children away from Jesus because children are not important, but they allow the rich young man to come right up to Jesus. And Jesus teaches them that God does not care if you are rich, but he does care about children. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And they get back on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus leads the way, and the disciples and the others follow, and they're amazed and afraid that Jesus is still continuing to Jerusalem. A third time, Jesus tells them what will happen. "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests, over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles." Excuse me. You would think that him telling them they're going to be condemned to death and delivered over to the Gentiles, you'd think that would focus the disciples on the nature of this road trip. But not James and John. They come up to Jesus and ask him to do whatever they ask him to do. And Jesus asks them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And their brothers say to Jesus, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus just must shake his head. Jesus' glory will be suffering and dying on the cross with two criminals crucified on his right and his left. Jesus tells James and John that they do not know what they are asking. And then he teaches them about true greatness. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus leads the disciples and the others across the Jordan again to Jericho. Jericho is 825 feet below sea level. Jesus leads his disciples and the others through Jericho and out the other side to the road going up to Jerusalem, which climbs up 3,300 feet over 18 miles. The road will take them through rugged, desolate wilderness up to the city of peace, Yerushalayim. Jesus' road trip is quite different from most road trips today. Now we take the car out on the open road at 70 miles an hour. Jesus is walking on the stone and dirt roads, maybe 3 miles an hour. At 70, with the windows up and the music on, you see things whiz past outside, but you're not connected to them. If someone outside tries to talk to you, you will not hear them. As Jesus walks out of Jericho with his disciples and the great crowd, they walk past a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. This helpless man cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus' road trip is not a trip of glory as we think of glory. It's not a trip where Jesus is visiting the rich and noble people and staying at their fancy villas insulated from the common folk. Jesus comes for the little children, the outcasts, the downtrodden. Jesus comes for sinners who know they need a Savior. Jesus comes for the poor in spirit who know they cannot save themselves. This blind beggar, Bartimaeus, cries out to Jesus. And the people around him tell him to shut up. Who is this worthless, sorry excuse for a man to think he can talk to Jesus, the famous teacher? The people try to silence him, but Bartimaeus knows Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus hears the blind beggar and stops on the road outside of Jericho, and the whole parade of disciples and the great crowds behind him all stop, and Jesus says, "Call him." And they call Bartimaeus. "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." Bartimaeus is likely sitting with his cloak folded in his lap to collect money from those who passed by. He throws off the cloak, coins clattering on the ground. He jumps up to get to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's the same question he asked James and John after they demand that Jesus do whatever he asks them. But Bartimaeus is different. Bartimaeus is not seeking after glory. He only cries out for Jesus to have mercy on him. And now Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Jesus said, "Go your way," and Bartimaeus follows Jesus up the desert road to Jerusalem. This morning, you gather here together and sing out, "Lord, have mercy," and you receive mercy. You come in need of forgiveness, and forgiveness is given to you by Jesus in the words of absolution and in his body and blood at his altar. You come as followers of Jesus and you are refreshed for the journey. Today, Jesus is still on a road trip to Jerusalem, the heavenly city of New Jerusalem, and he calls you to follow him. You have been on this trip with Jesus since your baptism into Christ. You follow in his footsteps. As a forgiven sinner, you delight in God's will and walk in his ways. And the road runs right through your midst. This stone path leading from the altar down the center aisle of the church through the narthex out the front door into the world. This is the road on which you follow Jesus. Jesus is in your midst. You all are the body of Christ on earth. You are a follower of Jesus. So with Jesus, you walk this road out of this building into the world to follow Jesus on your road trip from the waters of baptism to the living waters of the river of life in the heavenly city. Now, this road is not a road of glory. This road is not easy. Like the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, it is often an uphill slog with tribulation and evil and illness and injury and death. Following Jesus is not a ticket to a life of ease. Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me. You are on a lifelong road trip following Jesus through this life. It is an uphill wilderness road where you love your neighbor, where you love even your enemy, as you follow Jesus through life in this sin-filled world. Like Peter, James, and John, it's very easy to get distracted by the things of this world as if they are the most important things. The world wants you to chase after every shiny new thing. The world wants you to elevate your feelings above truth and commitment. The world wants you to seek after glory for yourself as the greatest good. Jesus calls you to follow him on the road to Jerusalem. And so you come here each week, and you sit by the side of the road, and you call out, "Lord, have mercy." And he does. And you follow him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.